Good morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with us all. Amen. I want to welcome you here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. If we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and this morning, I want to look into God's Word this morning, and we want to look at Ephesians chapter 6, and this is where I'm going to base the message off this morning. So if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll be reading from verse 10 to 17. And I believe this to be a very familiar passage to most of us. So it's Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, and kind of when we go through it, I would hope that we can keep this passage of Scripture for the battle that we are facing. Before we get started, let's unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful that we can gather here in your house of prayer, that we can fellowship in word and in song and with one another, and most importantly, Lord, that we have this time to reflect and praise you. And so we just lift our voices up to you today. We thank you, we love you, and we thank you for your grace and mercy that you continue to show us. We thank you again for the gift of salvation you have offered to the world through your Son, in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that Satan and his forces, they would be rebuked today here at every corner, that there would be no interference, but Father, that your Holy Spirit would flow fully and free here in the church, and also in the Sunday school, where our young people are being taught the word. And Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the song leaders.
Stick our red book and turn to number 207. My hope is built on nothing less. 207.
Thank you. 147, Precious Promise God Hath Given.
And playing. So as I mentioned, we want to turn to Timothy. So let's turn to 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, we're going to be looking at chapters 2, 3, and 4. At least some of the scripture passages there, not all of them. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we want to start at verse 14. Of these words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a good workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who can and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Jesus, or name of Christ, depart from iniquity. So when we look at those few verses, and we want to go back a little bit and think about what we read in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God, we see what can happen very quickly. So first of all, let's look at the beginning here at the first couple of verses, the verses 14 and 15. Charge of the Lord that our mission is to subvert people. In other words, we're supposed to teach. It says the subverting of the hearers. So we have to give them a message. And the message, of course, as Christians, is a message of hope. It's of salvation. And that's what we want to profess and move forward. We are to then rightly divide the word of truth. So we need to go to God's word so we can explain what biblical truth is. Because when we look in the world today, we see a lot of untruths, don't we? And then it gives us a warning that we want to accomplish. We want to accomplish a message of hope in Jesus Christ, and that is godly information. There's a very common phrase maybe we've all heard is the information freeway or the information highway. There's so much or so many opportunities to access information. Let's make sure the information we are of truth. Look what happens once we step away from the truth. We're given two names that they have erred from the truth. Okay, and then it doesn't say how many, but it says it overthrows that some that were of the faith. So because others were listening to these false teachers, they followed the same path. And do we see that happening today? God standeth sure, and it's given a seal. It says, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that's verse 19. So that is what we as believers need to accomplish. We need to go out and we need to firstly know the truth of the scriptures. And then we're going to have this transition, right? Because it says in the last portion of that verse, it talks about departing from iniquity, so we don't partake in the iniquity of the world. So we have to separate ourselves. And it's easier probably said sometimes than it is. Chapter 3, and I want to look at the verses 10 through 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, or teaching, manner of life, so there's an example, purpose, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And that is one thing I want to just stop here for a brief moment. I think as believers, every one of us has gone through some sort of persecution in our lifetime. It may be verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we need to be ready for that. How do you get ready for something? Well, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. We talked about putting on the whole armor of God. So we actually have to get ready for this stuff. Are you ready for this? We don't get ready after it's happened. Somebody in the military. So this, and when you look at Ephesians, it's talking about the shield and the armor and all those things, okay? So let's look at the military. When you look at a soldier that is going to go into battle, what does he go out into battle with? He gets prepared. So he puts his boots on, his shields on, his breastplate. He puts on that bulletproof thing, whatever that is. His helmet. He does all those things. And then he gets prepared and he goes. That's no different in that sense than it is for us as believers. Because who are we fighting? We're fighting against powers and principalities. And who is Satan using? He's using other people, isn't he? And so we're fighting against. And so this is just telling us we're going to suffer persecution. Well, why is that? Because we're going to go into battle. So we need to be ready before we go into the battle. Verse 13. See if this next couple of verses, see if they apply to today. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So my question here is this. Do you suppose that as far as evil goes, it's getting worse and worse, or is it getting better? Well, it's getting worse, isn't it? And I want to ask, first of all, I want to ask the older part of this congregation. When you started driving, I didn't even know what it was when I started driving. I'm 59 years old. I was driving when I was, well, legally, I was driving when I was 16. I was a farm boy. So to be honest with you, I was driving probably when I was 12. But when I was on the road at 16 years old, didn't understand road rage. I never knew what it was. And now we hear about it all the time. People are angry and bitter following God's word. And they move away from it, and it gets worse and worse. It says here in verse 14, But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we're supposed to take a look at where did we learn these things and from who did we learn them. And Paul is telling this to Timothy. So that's the example I want to use here is Paul is saying follow those good things. And that's exactly what we are supposed to do. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that is so important. Our children, their children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren need to be taught the Word of God. It starts with the moms and dads. And they teach the truth, at least I hope they are, teaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then it goes on in verse 16 and says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and look what it does. And it is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's where we want to strive to be. We want to make sure that we have made that change from what we used to be to this is where we want to get to. So that's part of our transition that we go through as a Christian. Then we should really take very, very seriously. I want to continue. Just keep right on reading and going to chapter 4 here. And I want to look at the first 5 verses. And here is another charge that we are given. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the... Here is something that we need to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So sometimes you're going to be sitting in church and you're not going to get a warm, fuzzy message that makes you feel good and when you leave. because the Bible itself is not full of. That's our goal. But it talks about hell and the punishment of the ungodly. We need to be reminded of that. And I want to share a little conversation I had with somebody the other day. In this past week or so, I was asked to speak at two funerals. And here's how it goes sometimes. Some people will sit down with you and they will say how it is. Don't hold back anything. So what do you speak on then? You speak on heaven and you speak on hell. You have to. And so at times we do this and something very interesting can happen. But I'll get to that in a minute. The second time, or the second point would be, sometimes you're asked to speak and the people will ask you, speak on the love of God. And that is so true. And so we might want to then be obligated, or we feel obligated, we need to speak on the warmth, and it does happen. If you speak on a message and you speak on heaven and hell, sometimes the people that are receiving, because you spoke on hell. But it's biblical. And then you speak the warm, fuzzy message. And I can only speak for myself. But then sometimes I question myself after a service like that. Because sometimes what happens is people will come up to you and say, that was a beautiful message. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, did I miss the point? Did they really get the meat of what Jesus Christ is trying to get us to understand? It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So I go back to that passage of Scripture. And I think about that a little bit sometimes. And I wonder, how much more important is it to take heed and do the work of the evangelist and make full proof of the ministry than it is to deliver a message? And he's teaching to us today. Make sure that we are standing on the truth. Yes, there is the positive of salvation through Jesus Christ, and nothing, we can't even begin to imagine the goodness of all of that. And on the flip side, we can't even begin to fathom the depths of pain and agony, of fathom either one. It's hard for us to put that into our imaginations. But if you can do that, then I want you to concentrate on making sure that you are a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Because in essence, if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, do we have to worry about hell? The Bible tells us that. And ask him into your life, and he's going to change your life. Ask him into your heart that he will be the Lord and Savior and King, and you will be changed. And just remember, Jesus Christ himself has prepared a place for all those that love him. And that's where we want to be, Jesus. So put our love into action. Make sure that we're telling others of salvation through Jesus Christ. So before we go to the second portion of the service this morning, I was given a prayer request, and I'll read it as it was handed to me. It's a prayer request for Kathy Redekop. She's having knee surgery soon and would love prayers for God's hands during the surgery. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith. Thank you again for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. Let's continue on. We'll move to 2 Peter. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 15. Moreover, Moreover, I will endure that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. There unto you in a dark place, unto the day dawn, that the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is given of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When we look at what we hear so often in the world today, is how before things are getting worse and worse, and there's all sorts of people coming against the Word of God, and they're saying that, you know what, God's Word is a lie. There's no truth to it. Well, for us as believers, we look at this passage of Scripture, and we're given an encouragement, aren't we? That we can be sure that the Word of God is exactly what God promised, and that is the truth. So, as I mentioned before, when we are in the battle against these principalities and these powers, and we're challenged with our faith, we can be absolutely... So when we take a hold of that, and we pass that on from generation to generation, beautiful things can happen. Years ago, my wife and I were taking a Bible study, and I cannot remember the author of this Bible study, but he gave an example, and many of you may have heard of it. It was entitled The Three Chairs. And what this pastor did is he placed three chairs in front of the congregation, and he gave us a little which represented the next generation. That person had gone to church, and, you know, he would go fairly regularly. And by the time it got to the third chair, or the third generation, that person had pretty much given up on God. What I want to encourage us is to revert that and make sure that we are grounded in our faith, that we don't let that happen, that we continue to preach and teach the truth. This is a message that has come from God. And are we listening to what God is telling us? Are we listening to the word? If you look at it at a military standpoint, very often, if you look at military history, a surprise attack is a tactic that the military would try to use on the person or the group that they're attacking. So they would do it in a way that the other group is not expecting anything. And when the attack hits, they are unprepared. They are not ready. And when we look at what we're dealing with today, we are warned that it's going to get worse and worse. And it absolutely is. How come we are not prepared? So we need to make sure we're putting on that whole, the people that prepare to do this sneak attack or the unprepared? Probably the prepared. And that's who you and I need to be. We need to be prepared because the devil uses tactics that are sneaky and underhanded and scheming, and then he comes in And where do you suppose he likes to be in most? Right here, in the church. Because if he can divide the church, guess what else he divides? Then he divides our homes. Then he divides our families. And you see the problem we have then? Because we weren't ready for the attack. So, is the devil going to... Let's be bound to Scripture and make our decisions based off of Scripture. We need to stop thinking of the short term. And that's very often where, personally, I guess, I would say is part of our downfall as human beings. We look at the now. And sometimes we forget. So let's make that commitment. Let's put on that armor so we're ready for the battle. And God will help us through. He is going to carry us through these things. And we read that earlier, that God is going to be with us. I don't know how much assurance you need other than God. We'll look at the first six verses. So Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So working for that's it. It's nothing supernatural on our part. God is just saying, do what I've asked you to do. And then it goes on to give us a warning. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. So we have to change our mind on certain things. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I'll stop there. It keeps going on. Talking about our gifts. But the point I want to make here is God has given each of you a gift. And he's asking you to use that gift. And some of us will have the gift of, you know, being on the board in a church. Some of us have the gift of singing. Some of us have the gift of playing an instrument, some of us don't. And there's all sorts of different gifts. Use yours to do what? We're supposed to be humble people. So let's be those humble people. You know what? It's a great example to the world, isn't it? Being humble? Humility is a great example. So let's be those people that are out there serving God and loving the Lord and doing things for the Lord. Not for self-gratification and glory and self-glory. You know, when we look at why Satan was cast out of heaven, what was it for? Pride. So you check your mirror. You take a good hard look in your mirror. Let's all take a good hard look in our mirrors and say, is that my problem? A pride problem? That's not a good problem. Get rid of the problem. Again, we are going to have to put on the armor so we're ready for those kinds of things, those kinds of attacks. And Satan is, he is cunning. He convinces us to do things that seemingly sometimes we feel, well, it's not so bad. Well, if it's not God-led, there's a problem. And here is a story of Solomon and wisdom. And you probably all know the story. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll start at verse 16. Solomon loved the Lord, and the Lord granted him a request. And what did Solomon request? He requested wisdom. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I think in today's world, we need all the wisdom we can get a hold of so that we can discern. So here's the story. Beginning at verse, starting in 1 Kings chapter 8, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in this house, save we two in the house. So there are two women together in the same house. They just had babies born 3 days apart. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But the living is my son, and thy dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, the son, and thy son is... Here's how I picture this. So here's King Solomon with these two women, and these two women are presenting their case, and then he repeats it to them. And he's saying, okay, you're saying this and you're saying that. Excuse me. So what does he do next? Then King Solomon says this, and the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And King David said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. How many of you remember this story in Sunday school? I remembered vividly we went through this. And so as I think about it today, I look at it and I go, but that's pretty harsh judgment Solomon was doing. And now as we are older, we understand what his plan was. And so he gets the sword, he's ready to cut them in half. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And before I read the rest of that, so in Solomon's wisdom, he used what we might say is a pretty grotesque way of dealing with that situation. He is ready to cut that baby in half. The woman saying, okay, that's fair judgment. I'm okay with that. At that point, he immediately knew who the rightful mother was. And so when we look at the wisdom that he had, he began to discern some very deep things. And look what happened in verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So do you suppose Solomon was given a gift? He was given this gift to discern. Well, as we consider our journey in this life, let's make sure we're grabbing hold of the gift that God has given us. Make sure that we are wearing the armor, that we can go into the battle, that as we go into this battle, we are prepared. And we remember that God has got your back. He's watching over you, and he will deliver you. Let's close in prayer. Singing your praises and honoring you. You are an amazing God that we serve, and we thank you and we love you. And Lord, as we depart from here today, we ask that you would just impart upon us the courage that we need to go out and be good stewards of your word, that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go, that we would live a life that would be well-pleasing in your sight, that we would share with others how important salvation is, and Father, that people would be drawn to you. And Lord, sometimes we look at a person and we wonder, and we might even say, can they not see? Do they not understand? Well, Lord, we're just asking you to open hearts and minds. In this day and age, we see so much anger and confusion in the faith that we have in you. Father, I just ask that you bless each one that is here today. Father, that you would be near them as they move forward from here. And Father, that we would all be willing servants to follow you and surrender our life to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to give you all another opportunity. For all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Whiter than snow in the Blue Book, number 145. One hundred and 45. 145.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for this wonderful message that you brought us this morning. Also, thank you for the pianist and song 21st at 9 a.m. at Meadows Grill, Plum Coulee. All men ages 12 and up are encouraged to attend. And also, as a reminder from last Sunday and the Sunday before, that youth is up again and starting at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. And just a message here. Hello, church family. We're looking to start up the clubs program again in this fall. Children from 4 years old to grade. This is Myron Dick and his number. Also, there's downstairs class, and that is age from 8 to 9 year olds. And if you're interested in helping out as a teacher, feel free to contact Henry Cron and Peter Martins. And also a message for when children give money in the Sunday school and what they're doing in Sunday school and where the money kind of goes to. I'll just read this as it is written. The Sunday school is trying to instill a spirit of charity in our students. In the last few months, we have started to post collection amounts on our whiteboard, just like the bulletin does for the church. We have suggested to the children to ask for a special job or chore to earn a little bit of money for them to bring to Sunday school to help teach them about into Sunday school. It goes for the missions. It's not for operating of Sunday school. And then just on the back of the bulletin, to pray for. I mean, there is a lot of people in our congregation, I think, any given day that need prayer support. They don't all make it into the bulletin, but I'll just read these that are written here. Jake and Chris Clausen and family. Chris is dealing with a neurological condition that is making it difficult to walk. Pray for God's will and wisdom and his peace and strength to uphold them. Jacob and Helena Bueller. Helena has been diagnosed with esophageal cancer. I can't pronounce that. Still undecided about a treatment plan. Your prayers for healing and patience is greatly appreciated. In God we trust.
Thank you for those announcements. And I would just like to reiterate the importance of praying for one another. The power of prayer is something we can all do. And so, you know, you just heard of a lot of things that we need to pray about, so I would ask that message that I had prepared. I'd like to bless you with a benediction that we find in the book of Hebrews, so let's bow. Know the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord. Thank you.